10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
On a star-spangled night, my love, Sterling will come on the air. You can listen to him for free. As he plays his kazoo, my love.
Sterling, every damn night, for me.
Sterling on Sunday, a giant radio show, weekend radio show, very exciting.
Hamus right now.
Respect to them. They need us to fight for them. I'm with it.
Gays of Hamus are being attacked.
That's not cool.
Not good.
I'm a straight guy, but that's not cool.
Yeah, they're going for the straights of Hamus, but they're not willing to protect the gays of Hamus.
You see, I'm a straight guy. I got my, I'm an ally.
What do you think when you do see a penis?
When I see a penis?
Yeah.
No, never seen one other than my own.
I grew up where somebody told you to keep talking. They wanted you to shut up. If they told you keep talking, that meant shut up now.
Well, did you see it? Or did you blink? The amazing revelations about everything in space. Did you see it? Here's Dave Scott with an update. Dave Scott, Spaced Out Radio. Sir gives us an update.
Number one, it is good to be back with you. If you haven't heard the news recently over the last couple of days, the UFO world has been absolutely in awe of what has been released. If you go to the website war.gov /UFO, that's war.gov/UFO, 161 files were released of UFO videos, photographs, and information regarding the subject of UFOs, what we've been talking about almost night after night here on Sterling Every Damn Night. Now, Donald Trump is taking a lot of praise for this right now because he actually listens to the people on this one. You may not like him. You may not agree with him on many other things. And my story is only about the UFOs. And that is, Walter, the fact that we have started the release. I never thought it would actually come. There isn't anything that's very, how can we put it? It's a very soft release. Let's put it that way. We're not knowing about crash retrievals. We're not knowing about alien contact. We're not knowing about alien abduction or where they're coming from or how they're getting here. The president has not come out and said, we are not alone in the universe yet. Now, apparently, this is going to be the first of many drops at war.gov/UFO. And with that going on, they plan on bringing this out in stages. So the next stage, they plan on allegedly releasing the 46 videos that Anna Paulina Luna had requested, so that way we could get more video evidence. Now, the videos that were released, it's really tough to say whether or not they're UFOs. I'm not going to lie. It looks like a bunch of dots on screen. So it is very interesting to see where this is going and what is actually a UFO, what is not, and what are we actually dealing with. A lot of the videos that have been released under this, and if you go on to that website, once again, war.gov/UFO, and you click down pages 9 through 11, you actually see these videos, and you can look them up for free yourself, and you can tell me what you think. I'd be interested in finding out. But the other interesting part about this was finally they went after NASA. Now, a lot of the transcripts and everything that were there, we already knew about. But now it's confirmed that NASA, who has been in complete denial that going back to the Mercury and Gemini programs, along with Apollo, especially Apollo 17, that there was UFO contact seen by the astronauts, recorded by the astronauts, and you can read the transcripts yourself. So if you have an interest in UFOs, this is the time to start getting excited, because there's a lot of free news, a lot of free reports that you can look at once again. If you want to hear my show, it's Spaced Out Radio. You can go to spacedoutradio.com. You can also join me on YouTube, Spaced Out Radio. Please hit subscribe. And if you want to download my podcast, we are on every major podcast network, including Spotify and iTunes. Thank you, number one. It is always great to share the airway with you on Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up, more excitement. It's unbelievable. We have Lesbians in Space and all of the things you love. Walter M. Sterling, Sterling on Sunday.
Florida is a beautiful mix of diverse people and cultures. Florida Stories is about them getting arrested. I'm James Parker. Florida Stories, still to come on Sterling every damn night.
This is Matthias Boehm-Bell. Coming up, my Hollywood report on movies, live on Sterling every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
It's Sterling every damn night. He's on every damn night.
He takes to the air without a care and does his nightly shows. And the Midnight Misfits all tune in for reasons nobody knows. It's Sterling every damn night. He's on every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday. Walter Sterling. It's the biggest late night show in American radio. From WGAN in Maine to KFBK in Sacramento, welcome. This is a very exciting time. Because why? Well, because the government, you know, the government has released video of specks of dust flying across the night sky, proving the existence of UFOs. And also we're seeing the magnificent star, the beautiful star, also a UFO, or a sight on a lens of a jet pilot captain. It's hard to say which it is. Let's assume that the government has said, all right, we're going to release some stuff that actually isn't clear, doesn't prove anything, but we'll send it out. We'll keep our word. We're going to do this. And then next week we'll send out more. And the week after that we'll send out more. And over the next 6 months, a little bit will come out on a regular basis until finally, around Christmas, the President of the United States will come out with, what did I want to play for you? Yeah, with Dr. Smith. You know, come out with Dr. Smith and we'll, from Lost in Space, and we'll be able to say, oh, and you've been in space? Yes, I've been in space. And what was going on there? We saw giant vegetables. Giant vegetables.
In the morning, when their consciences begin to trouble them, they'll come and get me. Indeed, they will. Down on your knees, Major, and beg forgiveness. Not until then will I even consider returning.
As I recall, the deal was that the character, Dr. Smith, was supposed to be in one episode and left on the planet, abandoned on the planet, because it was because of him that the Jupiter 2 went off course on Lost in Space and disappeared forever. What I find more interesting is that Bill Mumy, the kid, the young man, his character, his acting, he's the only child actor in history who did not grow up screwed up. And he did not grow up screwed up because his parents did what parents are supposed to do. They were on the set every day. That's how a parent's supposed to act. You're not supposed to leave them on a Nickelodeon set. You're not supposed to leave them on iCarly and expect nothing to happen. No, they sat with their son and they were good parents. As a result, today he is an executive producer of Ancient Aliens. That's right. On the History Channel, he's an executive producer of Ancient Aliens. He's a really bright guy. He loves the subject, and he's like that guy. He also dated Angela Cartwright, the girl. Even though he was much younger, he dated Angela Cartwright. It didn't work out, but they're still very good friends. I think it's such a sweet story, don't you? We've seen nothing so far in the great dump of UFO information. I believe that a lot of the reason that no U.S. president has ever done this before is that it was an inside joke between presidents. They knew there was nothing there. And they also knew that by withholding it, they were able to hold great power. We imagine there was so much that only the president of the United States, could release it. And therefore, he was very powerful. But listen carefully about what Trump said about this.
Mr.
Info.
President, I have two questions for you. First, on topic of space, do you have an update on the UFO files and what might be, when we're going to be seeing those?
Well, I think we're going to be releasing as much as we can in the near future for some reason. And I guess it's just a reason that's been in the minds of people for a long time. And that is such, they want to find out about the UFOs and anything having to do with UFO or related material. And we're going to be releasing a lot of things from that we have. And I think some of it's going to be very interesting to people. I've interviewed people, my first term primarily, but I interviewed some pilots, very solid people. And they said they saw things that you wouldn't believe. So you're going to be reading about it.
He was basically saying there's nothing there. He was lowering our expectations because he knew there really was nothing there. And if there really is something there, they're either going to release that last or never. Because their big dilemma isn't things flying in the sky. You and I have all seen things flying in the sky, especially when you're drunk or old and you just had your eyes worked on. No, he was very aware that the one thing they can't release is aliens. They can't show an actual alien body. Because that raises every question. Did they visit us? Did they talk to us? Did they threaten us? They're dead, huh? How did they die? Did we kill them? Are there more coming? Is this something? It'll lend endless conversation. It'll debate endless conversation. And therefore, I don't think they will ever release information that there are alien beings. Sure, things in the sky, no problem to release that. Maybe even something dropped from the sky. We got anti-gravity motors, anti-gravity engines, maybe something. The fact that the United States government is acknowledging this phenomena, is releasing the phenomena piece by piece, is a big step. It will go down in the history of mankind as a remarkable change in our relationship with the universe. Oh, there is stuff out there. But the stuff that's been released, did you see anything? Why is it that anytime we get government video, it's terrible video? Your phone has better video than what we've seen, right? Right? Very, what I said last week and what I've said often is I expect them to release it and I expect more of the same. What have we seen so far? We've seen grainy video with TikTok-shaped items off the coast of California. We've seen that for years. And we're supposed to believe that that's UFOs, right? What did they release? They released more TikTok videos of something off the California coast. That's it. Just have more of the same, which is not all that interesting and not specific. What they have released is what they don't know. They don't know what it is. Therefore, it is unidentified. Therefore, it is unidentified. That's what we've seen. More unidentified. More unidentified.
Lesbians in space, 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 the other side of midnight. Lesbians in space, space, space.
Can't make any promises, okay? I can't even promise that I won't hurt you in the end.
You think I can?
But up until that point, I will rock your world if you let me.
You want another one? I know you do.
Lesbians in space, space, space. The other side of midnight.
identify as a lesbian, black, female, and some people might call me a little bit masculine. With your philosophy, tell me, what does my life look like through your eyes?
I don't have any foregone conclusions about you because I don't know you. And I think that's really important. A lot of people will try to pigeonhole you because of your identity. They will say, okay, well, you just said that you were lesbian and that you were black, and that's what I was talking about. So that means that you must support transgenderism because we added the letter onto the flag. That's wrong.
I think we get more information about space and unidentified flying objects from lesbians in space than we've gotten so far. I'm not saying we're not going to get more. We may well get more, but I'm saying we haven't really gotten anything so far. Lesbians. Kate Martin, WNBA. Pretty-ish, long blonde hair, big smile, 6 feet tall, very popular. Great. She was dumped by her team in San Francisco, the Golden State. The Golden State team dumped her, the Valkyries. I don't know, a stupid name. And it's too bad. She hasn't been picked up yet. I keep waiting for her to be picked up by Indiana, which is where Caitlin Clark is. And Caitlin Clark and Kate are buddies. They worked well together in Iowa. They worked well together on their college team. It was a good partnership. I hope that happens again. I'm Walter Sterling. We've got Mateus Boom Boom from Hollywood with his film report for you. This is Sterling Every Damn
The People of Walmart.
Clay County, Florida. Yeah, social media influencer has found himself in a pickle with the law and facing serious charges after he posted a video online claiming to catch a sexual predator in northern Florida. Jay Carnicom is his name. He's 32 years old, pretty popular on the TikTok. And he has a thing called Dads Against Predators, where, yeah, they're looking for pervy people looking at targeting at dating children and sexually assaulting children. Well, this guy met an apparent, an alleged child molester wannabe at a Walmart. And that was not good for the child molester wannabe. He got beaten up a little bit, slapped around. And it was all, of course, recorded for social media. And that's where the problem comes in, because Jay Carnicom, he's 32 years old. Not that really matters. Anybody who is going after children, predators on children, is okay by me. So, yeah, Clay in Clay County, Carnicom, slapped this guy around, posted online, and then the law came. And they didn't come for the perv. They came for the vigilante. In these days where lawlessness rules everywhere, a lot of citizens have taken it in their own hands. And why are they doing that? It's because they feel powerless to stop the crime around them. And judges are allowing perverts and criminals just to walk free after being arrested. Carnicom's now facing a litany of charges. Could spend a little time behind bars. I think this guy should receive a pardon from the governor of Florida. Ron DeSantis, if you're listening now or a member of your staff, let's drop charges on this guy and let's give him like a day, a proclamation of some sort. I like that. And I like that a lot. For the people of Walmart, I'm Velo Hool. Sterling, every damn night.
Thanks, Walter. Yes, your pal Mateus Bombell here, delighted to be part of Sterling Every Damn Sunday. And over the past 2 years, you have almost never heard me talk about horror movies. This is principally because, Walter, they scare me, and I have no tolerance for gore and blood gushing everywhere. You can see that at a football game. However, I do like ghost stories and the supernatural, great movies like The Innocents, or Curse, or Night of the Demon, or more recently Nicole Kidman in The Others. I've seen some slasher films, Walter, and 70s classics like the original Suspiria. Even the obscure but morbidly fascinating Hollywood Horror House, which starred Golden Age of Hollywood actress Miriam Hopkins in a role that has to be seen to be believed. I say this to set up the fact that there's a new horror movie out that caught my attention for a few reasons. It's called A Blind Bargain, and if the title rings a bell with horror fans, it's because of one of Lon Chaney's famous films that is lost today. It no longer exists. It was a 1922 release, and it has the same name, A Blind Bargain. Clever filmmaker Paul Bunnell has revisited the plot of the silent movie, which was based on the book The Octave of Claudius by Barry Payne, and reset it with the look of a 1970s horror slasher exploitation movie. And by shooting it on 35mm film, Bunnell has captured those golden ambers and yellows one associates with the 1970s cinematography, like you might see in movies like Day of the Locust or even Hollywood Horror House, which this reminded me of a great deal. The shots are long and allow you to grasp what's going on in each scene instead of the quick cutting inspired by music videos that seems to be the way most movies are cut together these days. The story? A desperate young man with a drug habit, played by Jake Horowitz, has gotten himself into trouble and needs money and offers his mother, played by Amy Wright, to a physician of dubious morality, Dr. Gruber, played by Crispin Glover. But fail to read the fine print. The doctor's diabolical plans for his mother are not what was promised. Clever horror fans that know movie history will really enjoy what Bunnell has created here, but general audiences may leave scratching their heads, not catching the layered detail and many homages throughout, as in a few shots reminiscent of John Frankenheimer's Seconds, one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. The movie's called A Blind Bargain, and it's playing now at many AMC theaters across the USA. On the opposite side of the spectrum, a movie which opened Friday and which is full of laughs is The Sheep Detectives from Amazon MGM Studios. This was photographed in Ireland and stars Hugh Jackman as George Hardy, a shepherd who reads murder mysteries aloud to his flock of sheep, convinced that though they only bleat appreciatively, they really are able to understand him. When George is found dead, the sheep, who apparently could understand him, suspect foul play and begin to try to solve the mystery of who killed him and why. Not only could they understand him, they were also able to speak, bringing in a great cast of actors voicing in the ovine roles: Patrick Stewart, Regina Hall, Bella Ramsey, Chris O'Dowd, Bryan Cranston, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. In real human roles, Nicholas Galitzine is a reporter stumbling into the small village to do a story on local color, but gets a hot lead on a murder instead. Molly Gordon is Jackman's daughter, a possible suspect. Nicholas Braun is an inept policeman and bringing just the right amount of elan to the proceedings. Emma Thompson as the late George's attorney. Now, Walter, before you dismiss the concept, the talking sheep actually seem plausibly possible, and they are funny at that. The Sheep Detectives is a clever, fun-for-the-whole-family movie with lots of laughs. Next week on this program, I'll talk about an unsettling new movie that has two unhinged girls on a mad road trip of revenge for what their evil father did to their mother. It's called Is God Is. If you'd like to know more about what I'm up to with special film screenings or listen to other movies I've reviewed, I invite you to find and follow me on Facebook at Matias Bombals Hollywood. That's MATIASBOMBAL'S, Hollywood like the city, Matias Bombals Hollywood on Facebook. So there you have it, Mr. Walter M. Sterling. A look at the two movies that are out in theaters this weekend, A Blind Bargain and the hilarious The Sheep Detectives. I thank you so much for listening in, and to you, Walter, for having me on Sterling every damn Sunday.
Detective! Vicky Ferrari!
Hey, Walter. On tonight's episode of Confessions of a Retired Detective, two NYPD detectives from Brooklyn North Narcotics were placed on modified duty, which means they were relieved of their gun and shields, shortly after viral videos show them punching, kicking, and beating Timothy Brown, a home health care aide not involved in any crime, inside a Cobble Hill liquor store. The man was mistakenly targeted during a drug operation. A sergeant was also placed on modified duty. The NYPD disbanded that narcotics module and reassigned six additional detectives, plus a captain and a lieutenant, and launched a broader 90-day review of the narcotics division's policy, tactics, and procedures. I saw the video, and basically what it shows is two detectives in plain clothes come into a liquor store. They attempt to put handcuffs on this individual who was a large man. He's not having it, and it erupts into a Donnybrook inside the liquor store where he's fighting them, they're fighting him, until they finally get him out of control, and there's a lot of spilt liquor on the floor. Now, having worked in the NYPD's narcotics division, I sort of have an insight into this. When you're working a buy and bust operation, you have at least one undercover out on the street with several undercovers following him, and they're called ghosts. The primary undercover will approach an individual. He'll exchange money for narcotics. The undercover steps off, and then the ghosts that are watching the transaction will give the description. Now, sometimes after the individual sells drugs to an undercover cop, the ghost will watch him sell to several other individuals, and then the ghost will transmit to the field team those individuals' description. And then what happens is they're told to move in, and the cops start grabbing people. They place them in handcuffs. Now, after they're placed in handcuffs, you have to have what's called a confirmatory ID. So a lot of times the ghosts that are still kind of hanging out on the scene will go, yep, you got the right guy, or nope, you got the wrong guy. Other times they'll have the individuals in handcuffs look up in the air, and a car will drive by with tinted windows, and the undercovers inside will tell you, yeah, that's the guy, or no, that's not the guy. In this particular case, when the detectives moved in to grab this individual who was not involved in any crime, instead of just saying, okay, what's this all about? They would have handcuffed him, brought him outside, and the undercover would have said, nope, that's not him. They would have filled out what's called a UF-250, and they would have sent the man on his way. Could he have sued the police department? Sure, he could have. He wouldn't have gotten any money for it. But what did this guy decide to do? He starts fighting with them. And then it turns into a big brawl where somebody could have seriously got injured or cut. So this case is going to play itself out in the courts. I don't know if these cops are going to be cleared of this in this current environment, but if the guy just would have surrendered, there wouldn't have been this big brawl. So for more behind the scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Behind the Blue Wall of Silence.
Sleep tonight. It's Sterling every day and night. Don't sleep tonight. It's Sterling every day and night. He'll whet your conversation appetite for a show complete. Boy, what a treat. Delivered hot right to your home, even to the eternal city of Rome. Don't download a podcast or watch TV. Sterling every day and night is totally free. Oh, what flavor in every bite. Don't sleep tonight. It's Sterling every day.
Sterling, every damn Sunday night. Good evening. I'm Walter Sterling. This is a radio show that's on coast to coast. It's a big radio show. People are shocked by this. I certainly am shocked by this. And I'm also shocked that any show would have this.
The Buck Lesbians in Space, Space, Space. The other side of midnight.
Hey, wait a minute. Are you a broom? Because you've really swept me off of my feet. I'm up. My feet are off the ground.
And now a song that will live in your head all night. Deschanel, the star of New Girl. You figure she made a lot of money starring in New Girl and the residuals. Yeah, she did okay. But the real money in TV is to write the theme song. That's where the real money is. I've known big deal executive producers who went, I wish I had written the theme song. Zoe's making her money from that theme song. But as each season went on, they played less of it and less of it. Do you remember that? It was very traumatic to many people, like my friend John. He couldn't get over that. And what we learned was that it paid her less. They didn't want to keep paying her all that money. So it paid her less to have less and less of the song. Isn't that fascinating? It's like got to be the most boring thing I've ever said. Let's talk about Kate Martin again. Kate Martin is a WNBA girl, player, woman, who just got dumped by the Valkyries, the San Francisco Valkyries. Now, as you know, I know nothing about sports. I don't really like sports, but I like the WNBA because I can follow it. The hardest thing for me with basketball or football is I can't follow it. I can't track. There's something deeply wrong with my mind, which is why I have to be on the radio. Very sad. And I was talking to a friend who does know about sports, and I said, you know, but she's so pretty and so popular. She's really popular. For them to dump her, big mistake. Here's a new team, brand new team, its first year in existence, trying to build a fan base. And she was a major reason that they would have a fan base. And then they fired her. Very stupid. Basketball, yeah, I don't know if she can play basketball, but I do know that she was very popular. Or, quote, good in the locker room. What does that mean in a lesbian locker room? What does it mean that she was good in the locker room? What does that mean? I said to my friend, she's very pretty. He said, she's lesbian pretty. I'm like, okay. And then he says this other player, Sophia somebody, or Sophie somebody, she's girl pretty. But Kate Martin had a girlfriend, and her girlfriend was girl pretty. It was straight pretty, really freaking gorgeous girl. And that lasted about a year, and then they broke up, and now Kate's been fired. All of that's wrong. Hopefully, Indiana will pick up Kate Martin, and then she can be back together with Caitlin Clark. They were meant to be together, right? They were meant to be together. All right, that's all I know about sports. I'm not kidding. I don't know anything else about sports. I know about bowling. I know how you play bowling. I know how to win at that. That's it. That's sad, isn't it? Yeah. Then there was the other sports thing is this Mike Vrabel and Deanna, whatever her name was. So this Mike Vrabel, NFL coach, Boston, he's married, and he starts having a relationship with a reporter, with a sports reporter. Her name is Diana Rossini. And it turns out that they rented a boat together while Diana Rossini was pregnant. 2021, months before she welcomed her first child, Rossini and Vrabel did exactly that for 2 or 3 hours in June of 2021 when he was still coaching Tennessee. And she was reporting about him on ESPN. Can you imagine? Could you imagine an inappropriate relationship between a reporter and a player in an NFL team? I can't, or a college team? Can you imagine that? Oh, my God. No, that would be horrible. What it shows is them renting a boat together. And what it has shown later is the two of them sitting poolside. Well, if you're on the road, if you're a business person on the road, you know that you make friends with other people on the road with you. There may have been nothing to that relationship beyond sitting at the pool or renting a boat or doing something to kill boredom, the endless boredom of being on the road to do business. And she was pregnant. Forgive me. She was seven months pregnant. How much was going to be going on? Let's be reasonable here. Let's be reasonable. I'm Walter Sterling, and this is Sterling Every Damn Sunday Night.
Sterling Every Damn Night. From coast to coast. America's most peculiar radio host. When Sterling's on the air, the ratings are super high. And no program director can ever figure out why. Sterling Every Damn Night, from coast to coast. America's most peculiar radio host.
Hey, every damn night.
Of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Every Sunday night, as we drive across the country in our 18-wheeler, I am endlessly shocked at the horrible deal the federal government has given our truckers. Our truckers are, you have no idea how regulated they are. It's stunning how regulated truckers are. Absolutely stunning. They have wacky rules for truckers. It says they can drive so much, so many miles, so many hours, whatever it is. But then they must stop. For a 30-minute break or a one-hour break, they must stop. What does that mean? It means they have to stop wherever they are. It could be 7:30 in the morning, in the middle of downtown traffic, and by law, federal law, they have to stop. One, good luck finding a parking spot. You know the trouble you have. Imagine having an 18-wheeler in a downtown anywhere in America having to stop. Then, now you're sitting there in your truck. You can't leave it. People could borrow things from the truck unless you totally secure it. You might need breakfast. You might be a very long way away from a place to get. You know, not every place has a Waffle House. Most of America's horrible. And there are no Waffle Houses available. There are also places, roadside attractions, roadside convenience places, that don't allow truckers. Did you know that? There are many places don't allow an 18-wheeler to pull in and park. Then you're thinking, well, once they get to where they have to go to unload the truck, they can just pull up to a dock and unload the truck. Well, yeah, unless it's a dock with like three bays and there are 10 trucks sitting there, who gets to go first? Well, that is quite a political challenge among truckers. But what I do like is when I see the new cabs, the brand new cabs, and it's like your living room. They're magnificent. These trucks look great. You'd be happy to live in them compared to where you're living now. Where you're living now needs a lot of work, buddy. Walter Sterling. I have an email. It's WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. I answer my emails. Have you watched your Friends and Neighbors? The John Hamm series, the new John Hamm series. I guess it's on HBO or Netflix. It's one of the better ones. It's really good. The latest episode was about his father's funeral, his father dying. It's going to win every Emmy. Just the camera work is going to win every Emmy. It's very impressive. And they finally came up with, you know who they are. They finally came up with a role for John Hamm that's as good as Mad Men. It's basically his role for Mad Men. Now he's living in the suburbs with a different wife. Same suburbs. Actually, it is the same suburbs, but a different wife. And once again, two kids, a boy and a girl. You realize that on the original Mad Men, there was a girl, and you know who that was, and she's gone on to be a star. But there was also a boy. We never heard from him. Interestingly, that role was changed several times. The actor playing the boy, that was changed several times. But nobody was messing with Sally, the girl who played Sally. What the heck's her name? Who played Sally on Mad Men? A great actress. Has gone on to play Sabrina, the teenage witch. A sure sign of success among teenage women actresses. Now she's doing more cutting-edge things. You know, they get to a point in life where they want to be featured in... nylon magazine, and that require or interview magazine that requires more cutting edge business. But the women in Your Friends and Neighbors are spectacular. It includes Olivia Munn, whose married or boyfriend is John Delaney, the funniest man who ever lived when he's straight. And they have a baby now, but Olivia Munn is hot as hell, gorgeous. And there she is with John Hamm and with, that annoying guy who played the prince. You know, the guy who played the prince. Anyway, it's a great series. I urge you to take a look at it. I'm still trying to get over the fact that with the UFO files that were dumped last week, that there's nothing there. We're still dealing with the fact that there's nothing there. Then in Houston, the wife of the wealthy restaurateur, they were all killed. He killed himself, he killed her, and their two young children. You can't even conceive of how anybody could do this. You know this story, right? Terrible story. The wife of a wealthy Texas restaurateur who was murdered alongside her two children, she made a haunting social media post before her husband killed them in a murder-suicide. Thy Mitchell. She was murdered. And this is what she did. Just 10 days before she was gunned down, she made a video, posted a video on Instagram. And the video says the couple could be seen standing together with the text reading, quote, "He thinks we will grow old together. He will, but I'm Asian." Now, we don't know what that means, except that it's haunting. Does it mean that Asians die sooner? That's not true. Or that she's going to divorce him? I don't know. But can you imagine, you know, who's going to say, yes, he was right to do that? That's the worst thing you could do. The go to hell. Don't pass go. Goes directly to hell. Kills himself and he kills his two kids and his wife. What happens in your brain that makes that okay? What drugs, what alcohol made that okay? Yes, of course he had money trouble. They always have money trouble. But people who have money trouble don't automatically kill people or commit suicide. Money trouble. Hey, listen, you have money trouble? You're listening to the radio on a Sunday night? I bet you do. Let me give you this important tip as somebody who's had money trouble. It passes. It's just money. It passes. You owe them a lot of money. He's a restaurateur. He probably owed the mob money for tablecloths and window protection. They were going to come to get him. But the odds of them actually coming to get him were very small, just my hunch. But that's not the way to go. It doesn't work. It doesn't solve any problems. It may take you out of your pain, but there's so many other ways to get out of your pain and to deal with the money. To deal with the money. All right, I'm Walter Sterling. Good evening. This is Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
Right here on Strippers on the Loose, we've frequently chronicled how alcohol, other substances, and testosterone mixed together can lead to, shall we say, scuffles, knifings, and an occasional shooting. It just happens. And in the eyes of the British Columbia Supreme Court, the Gallery Show Lounge Strip Club in Vancouver presents a clear danger to the public. I like them. I like those Canadian cuties. They wear the fur hats and stuff, and they're warm in their souls. Warm, warm hearts. Club owner Anthony Pomonas says it's not his fault that people get out of control after leaving his club. The girls are just too doggone pretty. He says the club is, quote, a visual and sensory masterpiece. Those crazed leftos in beautiful Canada are ignoring wonderful architecture and entertainment venues. Frequently, city Karens, the city council members and community groups, they just go out of their way blaming people's behavior on where they've gone. Well, this club touches men's hearts. if the city fathers and mothers, the Karens, want to end this problem, it's time to encourage women to not only date men, but pursue them. Because if guys were getting loving, they wouldn't be out of clubbing. They wouldn't be out of clubbing at all. The Gallery Show Lounge Strip Club, Vancouver's peak entertainment experience, deserves to be reopened. I hope for common sense here. But I fear common sense is dead in British Columbia and all of Canada. From the Champagne Room, with a tear, I'm Velo Hool, strippers on the loose. Sterling, every damn night.
Sterling, Sterling, every damn night. Woo! Yeah, that's right. Sterling, every damn night.
Hey! Sterling, every damn song. Look at this, the microphone. Look at this microphone. It's embarrassing. I'd welcome all donations of a new and better microphone. No problem. Walter Sterling, Sunday night. That's how you know it's Sunday night. Strippers on the Loose is coming up. Mother's Day is an interesting problem, isn't it? Nobody ever talks about this. First of all, I've always felt if I had had a bad mother, if this would trigger me, if Mother's Day would just remind me of terrible things. There's an assumption with Mother's Day, which is that all mothers are wonderful and charming, and they're not. A lot of mothers drink too much. A lot of mothers drink too much. And some mothers drink too much. It's very, the founder of Mother's Day, a woman, did it because she felt there needed to be a formal day of celebration for the great moms in America. After a couple years, she made an appeal that it be toned down. She just wanted it to be a card and a thank you. She didn't want it to be a $100,000 gift. She didn't want it to be a $1,000 dinner. She thought it had gone way too far, which I find interesting that the woman who invented it thought it had gone way too far. I have found with Mother's Day that usually we miss. Unless the kid makes a drawing, paints something, usually we miss. We get it wrong. You know, the gift isn't right. It's not the right size. And then I have a spiritual problem spending that much money for flowers when a week earlier or a week later, they're not going to be that much. I find it really difficult to spend that much money for flowers. And again, I get it wrong. Oh, she doesn't really like those, or she didn't want that color rose. I find it to be a challenge. It never seems to work out. I had a Jersey mother, and it's fascinating to me when I hear whining about women should be more in charge of this, there should be more women CEOs, women should be more in charge. I'm sorry. I grew up in a matriarchy, not a patriarchy. I grew up in New Jersey, where the women are in charge, maybe true where you live. Women, where I lived, absolutely were in charge. They decided where you sit. Women decide where men sit. Women decide where men sit. Just sit over there. I got you this chair. Sit here. No, you can't sit in that room. Now, mind you, his name is on the house, but he can't sit in that room. Just stay out of there. I don't want you sitting there. Women decide where men sit. Every day is Mother's Day where I grew up. The women were absolutely in charge. If there was trouble, all the mothers would get together or get on the phone, and they would discuss the trouble, whatever it is. Each mother where I grew up had at least one powerful friend. Where I grew up, the most powerful friend was the produce manager at ShopRite. That's the most powerful person in New Jersey. Oh, we got you some beautiful melons. Mrs. Sterling, beautiful melons. Do you want these now or later? Most powerful person in New Jersey, produce manager, ShopRite. But every mother I knew somebody, the head rabbi, the Monsignor, the chief mechanic, the best doctor this, the best doctor that. They all knew somebody. And when there was a problem, they'd get together. They would talk to each other. and make a decision. Why don't you, Charlotte, why don't you take care of this? And Charlotte would take care of this. It was never, hey, Mike, would you? No, Mike was never given anything to do. Mike was told to just sit over there and don't get involved. That's what Mike was told. Sit over there and don't get involved. That's what he was told. The fathers had no say. They were in charge of nothing. And their work was critiqued. Well, how did you do the lawn like this? Their work was critiqued. And that's the environment in which I grew up. The women were in charge. The men were told where to sit. That was the deal. Therefore, Mother's Day is tricky because Mom was always in charge. And then I always think about people who may not have had my mom, who may have had a problematic mom, and I feel bad for them having to sit through Mother's Day. Walter Sterling, every damn Sunday. Satoshi Yakimoto. Satoshi Yakimoto. Walter Sterling, greetings. Satoshi Yakimoto. That is the hot new sneaker. Vans, a store on Fifth Avenue in New York yesterday. There were riots outside Vans. People camped out for 2 days waiting for the Satoshi Yakimoto sneaker. Now, I haven't even seen a picture of it. You probably know about it. If you have kids, I'm sure you know about it. If you have kids, it proves there's no licensing involved with children. How did that happen? How could you have been involved with children? Clearly, nothing was authorized. Satoshi Yakimoto. I can't imagine waiting for a piece of clothing by sleeping outside the store for a day or two. Can you imagine that? No, I don't think any of us would do that. Satoshi Yakimoto. I do know that people did wait outside the Apple store for the first iPhones. And a very good rich friend of mine appeared at my office with one of those phones the day that they came out. And I looked at him and I said, "You got one of these phones?" "I got 10 of them," he said. And I'm like, "Wow, you waited in line?" "No, I had George wait in line for me." I said, it was an employee of his. I said, "You made George stand in line outside the store to get you an iPhone, and I'm grateful for the iPhone. Don't be wild." And then he taught me a lesson in rich guy life. He said, "I did not tell him to stand outside the store. I paid him to stand outside the store." I went, "Oh." I also said to him once, "How are you going to get that? How are you going to deal with that when you're on an airplane?" It was probably not a good idea for him to have alcohol on an airplane flights. I said, "You know, when do you drink?" He said, "Every time I get on a plane, but I don't have to." Like, "Well, it's going to be tough." I said, "How are you going to make sure you don't drink on the plane?" And he said, "I will tell them not to put alcohol on the jet." And I had to think a second. I'm like, okay, it's a whole different way to think. A whole different view of the world. But there is a flip to it. One time he was complaining about his day, the challenges of his work day. And I said to him, "Well," "you know, you're not at a FedEx loading dock. You're not at a UPS loading dock having to fill trucks." And he said to me, "Walter, don't ever say anything like that to me. Don't compare my challenges with somebody loading trucks. They have a hard job. I have a hard job. It creates an equal amount of stress." And there it is, the arrogance of anybody to belittle the work of a billionaire, that suddenly because he has $1 billion, it should be spread to everyone. Somebody has a penthouse apartment, he should allow people in it. That clown mayor in New York, that clownish mayor, telling rich guys that how dare they be rich. Meanwhile, he came from a rich family, a successful family. Oh, yeah, he did. And I'm like, why don't you set an example? The mayor of New York has a magnificent mansion. It's called Gracie Mansion. Sterling. Sterling every damn night. Sterling across the USA. Sterling every damn Sunday. It's Walter Sterling. And you can email me, Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. Now, listen, You can hear me during the week. I'm on every night, all night. That's right, every night, all night. And you should listen. Download the 77 WABC app. Click Listen Live. Go to the website of many of the great fine radio stations that carry the all-night show, like KMOX, WGN in Chicago, KDKA in Pittsburgh, and listen live. Now, it helps me, by the way, if you listen live. I can't explain it. I don't understand it, but it helps me if you listen on the stream. I don't get it. I really don't get it. It's not like I'm pretending not to get it. There's so many things I pretend not to get, but then I do, like you. I mean, how many times have you been at work or in a situation where you just pretend not to? Oh, that's right. With your significant other, with your wife. I have been married a very long time. And the reason I have been married a very long time is I live my marriage on a need-to-know basis. Perhaps you can relate. I don't get involved. I know this sounds impossible, but I don't get involved with my marriage. Do you? I mean, really? Do you get involved in your marriage? It's left up to the other when they talk to their sister-in-law, or, for example, when they talk to your sister-in-law, or when they talk to your sister-in-law, that's when your marriage is churned. That's when the wheel, the donkey wheel on Lost gets turned, is when your wife talks to her sister for a very long time. And they talk a very long time, and the result is you get a new coffee table or the rug is taken out. I had a whole second floor of, this is true, I had a whole second floor of wall-to-wall carpet, and then I came home one day and it was all removed. My sister and I thought it would be better without it. Now, I know a few things about hardwood floors. Not a lot. I'm not an expert like you. But I know enough to know that a hardwood floor without a carpet is a dust magnet. And sure enough, everywhere I look now, I see dust, dust bunnies everywhere. And I was right, but I can't say that. Because in order for me to be right, my wife would have to admit she's wrong. Is that going to be happening? Do you realize like 80% of women, like 4,000 women were asked, would you rather admit you're wrong or go to jail? And over 80% of them said, I'd rather go to jail. And it was a serious survey by a serious university. Amazing. Amazing. The, it's what I learned quickly, and this is where guys screw up. Gentlemen, if you want to stay married and not go through the pain of a divorce or put your children through the pain of a divorce, this is all you have to do, and you need to do it before the wedding. You have no say. You must concede the rest of your life to your wife. Your wife is going to decide things like where your kids are going to go to school, where you're going to live, where you're going to go on vacation, what car you're going to drive. She's going to decide all of that. What do you get to decide? You get to decide how to solve the war in Iran, our problems with Israel, what to do with the United Nations. You get to decide the big stuff. But your wife, she gets to decide where your kids go to school, where you're going to live, what you're going to drive, you know, little things. And you just have to concede that. That's how it's going to go. It's not going to go any different. I learned that very quickly. And once I learned it, oh, you want the chair here? You want the mirror there? No, we've had no problems. We've had no problems. Now, there could be problems that live in my head, but those are, what are those? My problems. Those are my problems. Also notice, too, on Mother's Day, do people in the family ever look at Dad and say, how are you doing? How are you feeling? How is this working out for you? Is your job good? Does that conversation ever happen? No. On Mother's Day, we recognize that we ask Mom how she's doing. How are you feeling? Do we need to go to the doctor? Do you have everything you need for X? That's how it goes, right? It's very different. Let me just look at my rundown, make sure I'm working in the right time frame, you know, because my life's a challenge. Oh, we're good. Short jingle, break, and we have Dr. Dave's weather at 36 past the hour. It's a full radio show. It's a full radio show. I love the story about the bird guy, the bird watcher, who got the hentavirus, the hentavirus. If you remember on the X-Files, Cancer Man explained that there is no God, that there's only aliens. And he explained that the very first alien being on Earth was the hentavirus, the scary virus that now we're being told is killed two people on a boat. Well, the hentavirus, possibly the very first virus to come here from an alien force, that virus lives on rats and lives in dumps. So here are these two genius bird watchers, this man and this woman, the husband and wife, these two genius bird watchers. They're at a city dump watching birds. I was taught two things very early on about birds. They're dirty. They are dirty. It's the phrase dirty bird is meaningful. And city dumps are dirty. Now we have birds diving for food at the city dump, rats living underneath the city dump, germs everywhere. Here are these two geniuses standing at a city dump, walking around, looking at their birds, and they got a virus, and the virus killed them. The hentavirus.
You presume to dictate duty to me? Have you any idea what the cost of your actions is? What their effect might be? Who are you to give them hope? We give them happiness, and they give us authority.
That explains how our society works. Cancer Man on the X-Files explained to an alien, how dare you give them hope? The alien had made a mistake. There was a mass shooting. He walked around the people who had been shot, touched their bullet wounds, and they healed instantly. Instantly. This was well known to the secret government, and the secret government went out to get him and put him in jail and kill him. Cancer Man was sent to kill him because he was a rogue alien, a shape-shifting rogue alien. And Cancer Man wouldn't have that.
You presume to dictate duty to me? Have you any idea what the cost of your actions is? What their effect might be? Who are you to give them hope? We give them happiness, and they give us authority.
William B. Davis, the great William B. Davis, brilliant actor and a great guy. Believe it or not, this is not bragging. I'm as stunned as anybody else. He was in that scene with Roy Thinnes, William B. Davis and Roy Thinnes. And my wife and I fell in love over that scene. How does that happen? Nobody falls in love over sci fiction. You know, they fall in love with Sleepless in Seattle. We didn't fall in love with that. We fell in love with this stupid scene. It was the most brilliant scene I'd ever witnessed on television. Cancer Man and Roy Thinnes arguing over how the aliens control the planet. And I got in touch with both of them, and I asked them if they would come and recreate the scene at our club. And they did. I couldn't freaking believe it. And then we were so stupid, nobody recorded it.
You presume to dictate duty to me? Have you any idea what the cost of your actions is? What their effect might be? Who are you to give them hope? We give them happiness, and they give us authority.
Walter Sterling, every damn Sunday night.
Sterling every night. Study books. Rusty books, get cozy with the Owl and Dawn.
I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, Conquering the Skies. At their destination, Ash groped around for the doorknob and nudged the door open with his hip. It closed behind them, and he set her down on the floor and spun her around by the waist to face him. dim wall sconces around the perimeter of the room cast him in a warm glow, highlighting the tender affection in his eyes. "If you'll indulge me in a rare, serious moment," he said, "you've made me the luckiest man in the universe today. No matter what happens from here on out, there's nothing the two of us can't handle together." Geneva caressed the side of his face. "This was one of the, if not the, most amazing day of my life. And I know even better ones lay ahead of us." He inched forward, pressing his body alongside hers. Bracing her palms on his sturdy chest, she tilted her face upward in anticipation of his kiss. Before their lips made contact, however, someone knocked on the door. "It's unlocked," Ash called. Marcus appeared in the doorway, toting a small wheeled suitcase. The faint light from the hall silhouetted his slender frame as he watched them from several feet away. Despite the shadows, Geneva could recognize every familiar detail down to the hunger in his stare, and she drew in a sharp breath as she realized how much she wanted him. How much she wanted both of them. "I didn't mean to intrude," he said, interrupting her thoughts. "I figured you'd assume I'd be here shortly." "You're not intruding." She extended her hand toward him, beckoning him inside. "We got here just a moment ago." "I wouldn't have blamed you if you'd gotten started without me." He set down his luggage beside a wooden dresser and joined them in the center of the room. "As it's your special day, we can celebrate any way you'd like tonight." Without leaving Ash's embrace, she half turned toward Marcus, tugging at the collar of his button-down shirt and using it to pull him closer. Her other hand remained on Ash's chest, above his heart. Glancing back and forth between them, she burst out in a fit of giggles. "What's so funny?" Marcus asked. She let her hand skim down his side until it rested at his waist. "All this time, and I still can't figure out how to decide which one of you to kiss." He joined in her laughter. "A dilemma with which I am quite familiar." Ash's hand also drifted lower, and he gave her hip a mischievous squeeze. "I'm with Marcus on this one. You're in charge tonight." "Me?" she scoffed. "The one who's infamous for her inability to make decisions?" "It's all worked out for the best so far, don't you think?" Marcus steered her back toward her husband. "Why don't you continue what you were doing before I arrived? I'll figure it out." Geneva allowed Ash to guide her lips to his. Their tongues tangled together, engaging in sweet spirals and probing explorations. As they resumed their prior kiss, another set of lips floated across her bare shoulder. Marcus swept her hair to one side from behind and continued along his path to the side of her neck. While Ash held her in place with one gentle palm cradling each side of her face, Marcus's hands glided down her body, coming to rest at the swell of her hips. They didn't linger for long, though, as they slipped around to her stomach. While he continued to pepper faint kisses along her skin, his hands rose to cup her chest, skimming over the silky fabric of her dress. His strong fingers sank into her flesh. A whimper strained in her throat, but Ash refused to relent, preventing her from speaking. Marcus continued to fondle and knead, and his teeth grazed the sensitive spot at the juncture between her neck and shoulder. She jolted, and he let out a low chuckle near her ear. Though her options for movement were limited, she rolled her hips backward, lengthening the connection between them. She longed to reach for him, to tear his pants away and reacquaint herself with every detail of him. But the two men kept her trapped between them. He abandoned her heaving chest, and she grumbled at the loss of contact, though the sound was stifled by Ash's fervent kiss. Marcus's fingers found the top of the zipper at the back of her dress and tugged at it. The deliberate scratch, as he dragged the zipper down inch by painstaking inch, echoed in her ears, and she shuddered at his feathery touch as he pushed the straps down her arms. Oh, unfortunately, I think I need to stop here for tonight, but you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, Conquering the Skies, which is available at Amazon on Kindle Unlimited. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Sterling on Sunday, a giant radio show, weekend radio show, very exciting.
Hamuz right now.
Respect to them. They need us to fight for them. I'm with it.
Gays of Hamuz are being attacked.
That's not cool.
Not good.
I'm a straight guy, but that's not cool.
Yeah, they're going for the straights of Hamuz, but they're not willing to protect the gays of Hamuz.
You see, I'm a straight guy. I'm an ally.
What do you think when you do see a penis?
When I see a penis?
Yeah.
No. Never seen one other than my own.
I grew up where somebody told you to keep talking. They wanted you to shut up. If they told you keep talking, that meant shut up now.
Well, did you see it or did you blink? The amazing revelations about everything in space. Did you see it? Here's Dave Scott with an update. Dave Scott, Spaced Out Radio, sir, gives us an update.
Number one, it is good to be back with you. If you haven't heard the news recently, over the last couple of days, the UFO world has been absolutely in awe of what has been released. If you go to the website war.gov /UFO, that's war.gov/UFO, 161 files were released of UFO videos, photographs, and information regarding the subject of UFOs, what we've been talking about almost night after night here on Sterling Every Damn Night. Now, Donald Trump is taking a lot of praise for this right now because he actually listens to the people on this one. You may not like him. You may not agree with him on many other things. And my story is only about the UFOs. And that is, Walter, the fact that we have started the release. I never thought it would actually come. There isn't anything that's very, how can we put it? It's a very soft release. Let's put it that way. We're not knowing about crash retrievals. We're not knowing about alien contact. We're not knowing about alien abduction or where they're coming from or how they're getting here. The president has not come out and said, we are not alone in the universe yet. Now, apparently this is going to be the first of many drops at war.gov/UFO. And with that going on, they plan on bringing this out in stages. So the next stage, they plan on allegedly releasing the 46 videos that Anna Paulina Luna had requested. So that way we could get more video evidence. Now, the videos that were released, it's really tough to say whether or not they're UFOs. I'm not going to lie. It looks like a bunch of dots on screen. So it is very interesting to see where this is going and what is actually a UFO, what is not, and what are we actually dealing with. A lot of the videos that have been released under this, and if you go on to that website, once again, war.gov/UFO, and you click down pages 9 through 11, you actually see these videos, and you can look them up for free yourself, and you can tell me what you think. I'd be interested in finding out. But the other interesting part about this was finally they went after NASA. Now, a lot of the transcripts and everything that were there, we already knew about. But now it's confirmed that NASA, who has been in complete denial that going back to the Mercury and Gemini programs, along with Apollo, especially Apollo 17, that there was UFO contact seen by the astronauts, recorded by the astronauts, and you can read the transcripts yourself. So if you have an interest in UFOs, this is the time to start getting excited, because there's a lot of free news, a lot of free reports that you can look at once again. If you want to hear my show, it's Spaced Out Radio. You can go to spacedoutradio.com. You can also join me on YouTube, Spaced Out Radio. Please hit subscribe. And if you want to download my podcast, we are on every major podcast network, including Spotify and iTunes. Thank you, number one. It is always great to share the airway with you on Sterling every damn night.
The great Dave Scott with updates on all things UFOs. The great Dave Scott. Boy, that was a disappointment, huh? But our president warned us. Our president warned us. I don't really know what the excitement is about this. He was very clear about this.
Mr. President, I have two questions for you. First, on the topic of space, do you have an update on the UFO files and what might be, when we're going to be seeing those?
Well, I think we're going to be releasing as much as we can in the near future. For some reason, and I guess it's just a reason that's been in the minds of people for a long time, and that is such, they want to find out about the UFOs and anything having to do with UFO or related material, and we're going to be releasing a lot of things from that we have. And I think some of it's going to be very interesting to people. I've interviewed people, my first term primarily, but I interviewed some pilots, very solid people, and they said they saw things that you wouldn't believe. So you're going to be reading about it.
Before the files were released, the president said, I don't really know why anybody cares. He didn't seem very excited. He seemed to lower our expectations. And I believe this was a joke among presidents. Every president did not release the files. Based on what we've seen today, there was nothing to see. Little white dot in the night sky going around, speck of dust on the lens, speck of dust on the video camera. Why is it that every time they release government footage, it's terrible? Why can't they get good cameras? There's always, what is that exactly? Yet your iPhone and mine works just fine. Gets really good video. I think the joke among presidents has been this, that they know there's nothing, but as long as they don't release it, you and I make it very big. We imagine there are very big things going on there, but we don't know. You say UFOs, alien spacemen, then you combine it with the movies we've seen since childhood. It seems like huge, The Day the Earth Stood Still, that scary one where the kid was being sucked into the sand on the ground. That was terrifying. That gave me nightmares. That was terrifying. But that wasn't the Day the Earth Stood Still. It was something else. Or Invasion for Mars. It was the original. That's right. It was the original invasion of Mars, not the one with modern actors. No. The original Invasion for Mars had a kid who was asleep. He saw something on the ridge up there, went outside. His mother gets sucked into the sand. He gets sucked into the sand, sees what's below, what they've made canals and tunnels. Very scary. That was the original Invasion from Mars in the 50s. It was a 1950s movie, a very spooky movie. He ran to the police station. The police didn't have any interest in it. All of that. That's what we think UFOs are. They're not. They are unidentified. They fly. We look in the night sky. We see things flying around. We don't know what they are. Could be a satellite. Don't know. But that's what the government has released so far. Nothing. Some commentary, confirmed that there was something moving around on the moon when Apollo went up there. They stopped going up there. They were tired of seeing stuff on the moon. Nothing yet. Now, if they release and show us alien bodies like Jackie Gleason saw, if we see the Jackie Gleason alien bodies, well, that would be very different if they've preserved them. But if I had alien bodies, if I was the government, I would have gotten rid of them immediately. Because the minute I reveal that there are alien bodies, what does that mean? It means I'm not in charge. If you're the government and you say, here are the alien bodies, congratulations, you're not in charge anymore. Doesn't seem like a good plan. Walter Sterling, every damn Sunday night.
Lesbians in space, Sterling, every damn night.
I didn't know I was gay until I met my first girlfriend.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden it was like light bulb explosion. Everything makes sense. Oh my gosh, this is why I've, you know, never like connected with guys this way, and why I always got the ick, and I'm like, don't, you know, what, all of that,
like an emotional disconnect kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. And I thought something was like wrong with me, like why am I not excited about these guys giving me attention the way like my girlfriends are, my like female friends, and you know, younger, I didn't understand. And then I like fell hard for my first girlfriend, crazy.
Sterling, on Sunday, happy Mother's Day. Congratulations, you made it through. I hope whatever you made for her was okay, and she didn't follow the dining with this phrase. It's a little dry. It's a little dry. I don't know what made you think I would like this. Oh, that'd be the worst, wouldn't it, if she said, I don't know what made you think I would like this. I don't know. How many Amazon boxes arrived this week just for Mom? What do you suppose is going to happen? I had... We didn't buy her flowers this year, and I feel tremendous guilt about this. I feel tremendous guilt about all things because I'm half Jewish and half Catholic. Therefore, I'm eligible for all guilt. I got a great, oh, by the way, I got a great gift. Very nice, disposable, edible gift from JB Bakery, Burlington, New Jersey. Now, the great thing about JB Bakery, and if you look on my Facebook page, Walter Sterling, that's the Facebook page, you will see me holding up a cookie, a nice cookie. It's from JB Bakery, Burlington, New Jersey. And the beauty of the cookie is it has my face on it. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You can see that. It is a limited edition. You go to JB Bakery and they have a limited quantity, but they still have a few. You can get them. It's worth it. It's worth freezing it, like you did with your wedding cake, and then your brother-in-law came along one day, looked through the freezer, wanted to eat something, and ate your wedding cake. That happened, right? Of course it did. Or did one of your 3 or 4-year-olds give it to your dog, or worse, your cat? That's what happens with things frozen in the freezer. But you should get the cookie. The other thing you can get my picture on, and I'm not saying this is good, because who needs my picture, but it's interesting. The Dave Scott, spacedoutradio.com, spacedoutradio.com, on his website, you can buy a t-shirt or a sweatshirt with me in a UFO, a picture of me in a UFO. Why wouldn't you want that? Good for Halloween. Better for the sun. Better for the sun. Tartaria. This is my favorite theory. This is my favorite conspiracy theory. Tartaria is my favorite conspiracy theory. There was a country called Tartaria, which had states around the world and was a superior advanced society that had wireless electricity. And, well, hear for yourself.
What if I told you there was an advanced civilization that existed just 200 years ago, but history erased it? You see these massive, intricate buildings? Historians say they were built in the 1800s. But look at the size, precision, and detail. Does that really add up? This is Tartaria, an empire that appeared on maps until the 19th century. Then suddenly, it vanished. Why? Some believe the Tartarians had technology far beyond their time, including the use of free energy from the atmosphere. Many of their structures had antennas, copper domes, and advanced wiring that resemble modern Tesla coil technology, leading some to believe they had wireless energy, similar to what Nikola Tesla was working on. They also built massive star forts, geometrically perfect structures that some claim were designed to harness and distribute energy. Then, a mysterious event, possibly a mud flood, wiped them out, were burying entire cities. Many old buildings today have windows and doors below street level, as if they were built before something covered them. And here's the craziest part. After this, history books erased Tartaria, and the world was rebranded as we know it today.
Traditional archaeologists say, well, those buildings that new buildings were built on top of, that was the upgrading of the street grade, filling in to get the street grade to a new level. Well, number one, why would you do that? And number two, not two stories down. The buildings that you can find underneath current buildings in cities like Cleveland, Cincinnati, Los Angeles, even New York, they're two stories high, three stories high. They weren't purposely covered over to increase the street grade. That makes no sense. There had to be a catastrophic event or a purposeful event that erased what was there before. And why would they want to do that? You look at those buildings. You look at the buildings built in 1880 that are now libraries, government buildings, city halls, train stations. You look at those. And first of all, why doesn't Amtrak go into those train stations? Instead, Amtrak throughout the country goes on crappy sidings, barely enclosed, if enclosed at all, ugly sheds, goes into sheds in cities like Cleveland, Syracuse. They go into ugly sheds, not these, and they have terminal tower. They have magnificent train stations from the 1880s, 1890s. Why doesn't Amtrak go into there? Why not? Okay, track problems, I don't know. Why don't they build train stations that are magnificent? Why doesn't Amtrak, they've been around since 1972. Why can't they build train stations that are magnificent? Let me suggest, because they can't. When you look for the plans of those old train stations, city halls, libraries, you're not going to find them. You won't find photographs of them being built. You won't find photographs of Penn Station being built. The sides of those buildings, it has a date. It doesn't say the date erected by. It says the date it was founded by. We found those buildings. They were here a long time, and they were built using architectural detail that seems to elude us. Magnificent architecture. And then here's the last part. The doorways are different. The doorways are much higher than the doorways you and I would ever think of building or needing, inside and out. Why would they have 8-9 foot high doorways? Well, because much of the population of Tartaria was 8-9 feet high. And this was also wiped out, along with their skeletons. The long rumor of skeletons in the basement of the Smithsonian, giants in the basement of the Smithsonian, I tend to believe that. I think that's true. Now, why would they hide this? Because then if you can see it, you're going to ask about their culture. And they don't want us to know about their culture. Their culture was free electricity. Dirigibles. They traveled in the air. They had automobiles that were powered by free electricity. It was a very different economy and a very different set of technology, techniques. But it was erased. It was erased to build the wired electricity, the wired electric economy. That's what happened. Men like Rockefeller, Westinghouse, Edison, they conspired to force us to use oil and wires. Because why? Because that could be metered. The other stuff, that can't be metered. Tesla died broke because he wanted to push a technology that couldn't be metered. And we can't have that. No, we can't have that. You and I can stay in touch. I have a Facebook page, and I hope you go to it, Walter Sterling, Sterling. There you will see the Walter Sterling cookie from JB Bakery, Burlington, New Jersey. Get the cookie. You're not doing anything. And get the MyPillow products. You're not doing anything. And be sure to get the app, 77WABC, and then you can hear me all week, all night, all week. Yeah, I'm on every night. All night, all week. Sounds like a dream. A fevered, sad kind of dream.
The lesbians in space, space, space. The other side of midnight.
Identify as a lesbian, black, female, and some people might call me a little bit masculine. With your philosophy, tell me, what does my life look like through your eyes?
I don't have any foregone conclusions about you because I don't know you. And I think that's really important. A lot of people will try to pigeonhole you because of your identity. They will say, okay, well, you just said that you were lesbian and that you were black, and that's what I was talking about. So that means that you must support transgenderism because we added the letter onto the flag. That's wrong.
Chris.
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Yep. For our first Florida Story, we go down to Sarasota, where a Florida man, his brother, and their kids go on a fishing trip. But Captain Mark, 36 years old, decided he was going to have a party all by himself. He was seen drinking rum straight from the bottle, had multiple beers, got high from cocaine, and ended up in an argument with the 15-year-old passenger who tried to grab one of the beers for his uncle. So Captain Florida grabs the teenager's chain off his neck, rips it off like a movie, to compensate for the beer that he quote-unquote stole for his uncle. At first, they weren't sure if he was playing around. After that, he got a gun, squeezed off some rounds in the air, and everyone just prayed to make it back to the coast alive. It doesn't say whether or not they caught a lot of fish, though. Hold my beer.
Wait, Hold my beer.
What?
For our next Florida story, we go down to Lake Alice, Florida, where Trevor has been dating his girlfriend, Taylor, for quite a while now, and he's about to go into the Marines. So what does he do? He proposes before he's getting shipped out, and then they plan to have a nice picnic down by the lake. After they get everything set up, an alligator runs out of the lake towards them, and so they run into the tree line. And the gator notices a big bowl of guacamole that Trevor and Taylor made for the picnic. And the gator eats it, the bowl and everything. And Trevor's had enough. So Trevor comes out of the tree line. He stands up tall and he spreads his arm to make himself appear bigger. And he screams like a maniac at the gator. The gator looks at him, freaks out, and then turns and runs back into the lake. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What?
For our next Florida story, we go down to Fort Pierce, where a 41-year-old Florida woman was playing a drinking game with her neighbor. Whoever drinks this beer the fastest wins. The loser has to stab themselves with a screwdriver. So Florida man agrees to it. Florida woman wins. So Florida man, with his honor at stake, I guess, stabs himself with the screwdriver. They have a little trouble stopping the bleeding. And the next morning when Florida man's kid goes to elementary school, he mentions to the teacher that his dad won't stop bleeding. So someone alerts the authorities, and it was only then he got medical attention for the puncture wound to his abdomen. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we go down to Pinellas Park, where this couple's been together 11 years. Florida man is 37. Florida woman's 41 years old. But Florida woman's had a problem sleeping around lately. Florida man not too happy about it. They've been arguing quite a bit. And one night in a fit of rage, Florida woman wakes up to Florida man pouring ketchup all over her body, saying, "That's what you get." She calls the police. When the police show up, she still has ketchup all over her. He has ketchup all down his right leg. And a quick review of their criminal history also shows that the cops showed up a few months ago, and they had both carved their names into the bed, whatever that means. You know, you could just break up.
Hold my beer.
All right, our next Florida story takes us down to Hudson, Florida, where a Florida man is in Walmart, and he senses too many evil spirits around him. So he does what any reasonable person would do. He goes over and grabs the salt, starts pouring salt all over the floor and on his feet before walking into the woods. A sheriff's deputy found Florida man laying under some trees in the woods. It says he's 38, but he looks like he could be 60. And it doesn't say if he got rid of the evil spirits.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to Pembroke Pines, Florida, where at the mall, two drivers were trying to get into a space outside the mall's movie theater, and it's a classic standoff. They were pulling in at the same time, and neither one wanted to relent. Our Florida man is an 81-year-old
who used to be on the Miami-Dade County School Board, and he pulls out his piece and begins firing at the other man's car, shattering the back windshield. And then he realizes, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. So the 81-year-old hops into his car and drives off. Passing police saw a Florida man driving down the street, still firing his gun indiscriminately. Then there was a police chase, which took a small pause when 81-year-old Florida man got out of his car and began exchanging gunfire with the police. Then he got back into his car, drove off before he lost control, crashes, tries to flee on foot, but then he's 81 years old, so the police catch up to him pretty quick and take him into custody. It's a miracle nobody was harmed. Can you imagine a police chase with an 81-year-old on foot?
Wait. Hold my beer. What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we go to Wedgefield, Florida, where this story looks like Pulp Fiction. You remember when he accidentally shot the guy in the back of the car? Well, I think this guy may have shot the guy in the back of his car on purpose, but it blew through the back headrest, left a big bullet hole in the back windshield, and blood was everywhere. So the two Florida guys go to a body shop to get the back window replaced. They also wipe the car down, and then they go to another auto parts store to get the headrest replaced. They left the body in the car the whole time. So then they took it somewhere and buried it, but luckily someone tipped off the police and they went and found the guys. But isn't that the scene from Pulp Fiction? Could have happened anywhere. Happened in Florida.
Wait. Hold my beer. What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we go to Newport Richey, where a 20-year-old Florida man was driving home on a Saturday night, actually early into Sunday morning at this point, and the cops pull him over. Have you had anything to drink? No, officer. Have you been doing any other recreational drugs? No, officer. Okay, well, what's that powder under your nose? There's no powder under my nose. Yes, there is. I can see it. That's not mine. And it's hilarious because this day and age, they have a screenshot of the body cam from the cop. And sure enough, you can see all this powder under his nose. It's like, listen, kids, if you're thinking about doing drugs, wipe your nose. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we go down to Lando Lakes, where a man was making YouTube videos showing how people, they can cover up home security cameras. The mugshot on this dude is priceless. He looks like Post Malone's little dumber brother. And if you were given him plus 1,000 other people and asked to pick out the weirdo who was making tutorials on how to rob houses by covering up security cameras, you would pick this guy. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our last Florida story, I want to end on a positive note here down in Deerfield Beach, Florida. The world record was broken for the largest underwater cleanup. 633 divers came out early one morning, had to stay in the water for at least 15 minutes to be counted. But it was all for the best of causes, cleaning up the environment. 9,000 pieces of marine debris were removed in front of the cautious eye of the Guinness Book representative who came down from New York City for the event.
Wait. Hold my beer. What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Florida Stories is produced by Spring Rock. I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
I'm spelling every night. Study books, rusty books. Get cozy with the owl and dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my award-winning book, Disintegration. Roe followed Callum into his room, an act which didn't surprise him. She hopped up onto the table and folded her hands between her knees. Her legs swung back and forth as they dangled above the floor. When she didn't say anything, he took a seat in one of the chairs. "So, what else do you all have planned for me?" he asked. "How much more do I have to prove before you'll finally let me go outside and get a breath of fresh air, among other things?" I'm sure Zedek has more ideas for you when he returns. One side of her lips curled upward. "I didn't realize you were so eager to go out and start killing people." "Neither did I," he thought. "I don't know. I guess I just want to do something more useful than sitting under Vlad's microscope. Ro laughed. Can't say I blame you. Her mouth returned to a straight line. I have to say, though, I'm still not quite sure about you. What aren't you sure about? She tapped her chin. I know I don't really know you, but I bet you were a nice, friendly guy before you wound up down here. I'm sure you were a doting husband and father, and an obedient, competent soldier. You may have gunned down a few opposing troops when you were ordered to do so, but I doubt anyone you knew had a bad word to say about you. Callum couldn't disagree with her assessment. And next, you're going to tell me why this is a problem. Because it could wind up getting you killed? His gaze remained fixed on hers. I see. She slid around the curve of the table until she faced him head on. Nice is a weakness, something to be exploited. Zedek has no use for weaknesses. Neither do I. He continued to stare at her, unsure of whether to be miffed at her accusations. What do you want me to do? Start picking on lowly lab assistants for sport? Possibly. Her right leg stopped swinging, and she propped her foot up on the seat of his chair next to his thigh. There's no denying how, with your modifications, you can be one of the most brilliant members of this organization. But you don't think I have the attitude to back up the equipment. Ro slithered off the table and landed on his lap, straddling him. I've seen how strong you are. Her voice flowed over him like a viscous liquid. Both in the training rooms and in here. Callum's breath hitched in his throat in response to her body pressing alongside him. He said nothing, and she continued. There's something inside you that doesn't give a damn about the amicable exterior you always presented. Something brutal. Something ruthless. She leaned forward, flattening her chest against his. He stifled a groan at the additional movement of her inner thighs across his lap. "And this is what you want from me?" he asked. Her head dipped down and her lips grazed the outside of his ear. "I saw it simmering within you during the briefing in the conference room. I felt it when you held me down on your bed." Rose's fingers slipped between them and nimbly unfastened the top button of his shirt. Channel it, and you'll be unstoppable. One by one, she unbuttoned the closures. His body reacted to her touch on his bare skin, and he draped his hands around her narrow waist, but she escaped his hold. She slid down to the floor and arranged herself between his legs. Callum closed his eyes and breathed a sigh of relief when she liberated the heavy bulge from his pants. "Asking nicely isn't going to get you anything this time," she said. "What do you want?" He tried to reason through the carnal haze. If her ultimate goal was to get him to be more assertive and domineering, her methods were rather questionable. Desire won out over apprehension, and he attempted to make the next move in her scheming plan. Threading his fingers through her soft brown hair, he steered her closer to where he wanted her to be. "Say it, Callum," she said. Her steamy breath danced across his sensitive skin. He mumbled something inaudible. "Say the words." Oh, I think I'd better stop here, because if I say the words in the next line, we are all going to get into a lot of trouble. But you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, Disintegration, which is available at Amazon in paperback and on Kindle Unlimited. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
Email waltermsterling@gmail.com. I answer every email. I've got a pretty good website, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
Sterling is brought to life by these creative people. Musical director Lee Harris. Technical wizard Dave Scalish. Operations Frank Canal. Sound mixers Sean Cicero, Sean Walsh, Andrew Torres. Voice actors James Parker, James Copeland, that's me, Randy Thomas, Charlie Van Dyke, Charles Van Sant, Robert Clotworthy, Peter Thiel, Erotic Thrills Thea Landon, Class Act Jill Brook, Make Good Steve and Selena JB Bakery, Skullduggery Vic Ferrari, Blessings Father James Drucker, Meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser, Writer Jerry the Writer, Business Guidance Craig Kitchen, Program originated by Chris Olivero, Long-suffering Executives David Yagaroff and Greg Stalker, With Respect Alex Bennett, Sally Jesse Raphael, and Gene Shepard.